And we are in Parshas Balak. So I'd like to take a little look this morning at some fascinating points regarding the Nevuah of Bilam. Explain some things which are on the surface very puzzling. Let's begin with one of the most classic questions and difficulties in this week's Parsha. We're told, towards the beginning of the Parsha, that Bilam gets these visitors from Balak. First set of visitors, the second set of visitors. Hashem comes to Bilam.
Who was the same set?
They were first sent one set of servants. Bilam didn't come, so he thought he'll send somebody more important.
Oh.
And maybe a bit of extra cover, then he'll come.
Was this two lots?
So the Bible tells us that a kotrof who comes to Bilam, Vayomer lekiro Bilam laila, Vayomer loy, Vimlikro in the top of Hanoshim, Kumle, Itom, you can go with them, but Vahakis Azoba Hashem, Dabere Lecho, Oysu Yitzas. So don't you, whatever I'm going to tell you to say, that's what you're going to do. And the next morning, what happens? Vayomer Bilam laboy, Vayakvo Yishas, Soyno Yitzad, Vayelech, and sorry, Moyo, and off he goes with the sorry words. So, of the most puzzling aspects of this parsha, you know, what exactly did Bilam think? If I could have brought told him explicitly that, you know, whatever I'm going to say, that's what you're going to do. So what did he think would happen exactly? He expected that a kodesh baruch hu was going to curse Amisrael. He said, no, that wasn't likely. So what was the purpose of him going? Why did he think to go? One of the most basic and very puzzling questions in this week's parsha. Money, maybe. Okay, it could be other motives, maybe. Could be all the portion of the discussion, talk about it. So maybe more than one, definitely more than one approach, but we're going to share one idea at point. He said, you can go. If he called you for your benefit and you feel it's for your benefit and desire to go, you can go. But you should know that in the end of the process, is whatever I tell you to say, oh, you say Sata, that's what you're going to do. So with that condition in mind,
you can go.
I'm not asking whether he had permission to go, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking what was his motive for wanting to go. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu has already clearly made this condition that whatever I'm going to say, that's what you're going to do, then what's the point in him going? Bilam requested him to come to curse Amisrael. That was the purpose of him going.
But the fact of going may be keeping Hashem, because
he knew what Hashem said. Well, that's proof. So what was Bilam's motive in going? Bilam didn't want to be a vehicle of Kavod Shamayim. That wasn't his makori in life, to be a vehicle of Kavod Shamayim. Good Shaila. What proof did he have to be Mashadish a whole parsha in the Torah? Okay, we'll see some more about it. I don't know if he's going to ask that question. Okay, well, let's go down the side of it.
If you're
blind,
the actual fact of it.
Okay, well, let's something down those lines, let's develop that theory a little more. So, let's look at some other questions before we come to a Mahalik. The Gemara in Bava Basra discusses the various forim of Tanakh. There's the Chamisha from Chitaira, Yeshua, Shoistim, etc., Shmuel, Yirmiah, all the Nevi'im, the Sforim of Ksuvim, Tehillim, Mishnah, etc. So the Gemara there discusses which Sforim were written by which people. It tells you who was the author of these various Sforim, who was the Navi who wrote this, who wrote that, etc. And one makes the following statement in this context. And we can't call it. Who wrote it? So it says Moshe Kosav Sifrei. Moshe wrote his book, Perus Moshe, the Chamisha Chom Chitaira, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down fast. Uparshas Bilam. And the portion of Bilam, the Iyov and the Book of Iyov. There's the Book of Iyov on the side somewhere. But what interests us is this special mention of the portion of Bilam on its own. I mean, the portion of Bilam is a section of Torah's Moshe. So if he wrote this Torah, obviously he wrote everything, including all the parts of it, from the beginning to the end. You know, to strengthen the question, if you skip out even one letter of the entire Torah, the same Torah is possible. Chazal say that one disbelieves in even the smallest detail of the Torah is classified as a kotzer. So everything is primary here. Everything has the equal importance as part of the Torah. So in what sense do we mean? The Moshe Rabbeinu wrote his book and also the portion of the book.
We had a question on if you wrote the end, right?
actually left in 2 days without being chazal.
But you didn't mention that, you mentioned.
But it's the very same Gemara we're going to discuss it, so
okay.
Yeah.
So there is a question that maybe sections, some sections.
But you see, over the time, maybe some sections could have been written by somebody else.
Right.
What?
Yep.
No,
but we don't find that in those last 8 psukim where, because there's a particular
right,
indication of like it's written after the pattern is written and Moshe Rabbeinu died. So if he died, then he wrote it. But everything until then, we don't ever find that.
Right. So what one understanding was that the last section was just a bunch of letters all joined together. You can't tell what stands inside it. It's not what the spaces and the ties, you could tell what
yeah.
it was. And then later on, the spaces went in.
Yeah, I mean, we do find that the Ramban already says that in his Hakdamah to the Torah, the Ramban says that the entire Torah was, when we talk about the concept that the Torah existed before the world, etc., the Ramban says that it existed in a sort of different sense. It was a block of letters without splitting up words. And that's why they find, indeed find it, amazing Ramban, which can be found in the Torah by splitting up the words differently, etc.
Alright.
Yeah, that helps us directly to explain this concept. So, Mavorish over there gives Purushim, but none of them appear that sort of satisfactory, let's say. Rashi says, Parashat Bilam, the portion of Bilam, Nebu Otoy Mishalov, it means the prophecies of Bilam and his parables, which in this week's Parashat. So Rashi says, well, what's the sort of Kiddush, what's the added stress that Moshe made about this? Afati She'enon Tzorki, Moshe the Torah, even though they're not directly needed for Torah understanding for the rest of the Torah, they say the lights are not part of Moshe Rabbeinu's actions, what he did. Nevertheless, he wrote it. Okay, it's a sort of simple explanation, but room for another pshat. The Ritva also says a pshat. Nirin Divrei Ha'omrin, the Ritva explains that Divrei Pshat She'ein Zu Parshas Bilam She'ketuva BaTorah. We don't mean the portion of Bilam written in the Torah. Da'ahia Kodesh Baruch Hu Kof for Kishar HaTorah. That's included in the regular writing of Torah.
Yeah,
Ella Parshas Bilam Asmai. The Ritva says there was some other book. There was a book that was known to them, it's not known to us now, called the Book of Bilam. Shekosa Beheris for Yoyser, in which it was written more in detail and at length, the episode of Bilam voice on the Tzilolahem, and it was available.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that this
portion
Moshe
Rabbeinu
is not
mentioned.
In the
entire Parsha?
Yeah, that's
another
section.
Isn't that the one part
that the.
There is another Parsha. Parsha's. Parsha's not very famous, no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Bilam, who called Kirk.
Maybe.
Supposedly not been aware of.
Okay, but.
You never said that.
Okay, I don't know. We're in Shul on Shabbos, we're going to keep our eyes open for that.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's room for another chat here, still. So let's leave that one question. Another question. What does it mean he wrote his book and Parshas Bilam? Now let's look at something else, also very famous and very common. The Medrash said, Loikom Novi Oid be Yisroel to Moshe. Well known, it says in the Pasuk towards the end of the Torah, Loikom Novi Oid be Yisroel to Moshe. There was no Novi in Am Yisrael equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Medrash, be Yisroel Loikom. There was no Novi in Am Yisrael equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. So read carefully, in Am Yisrael there wasn't. But in other nations there was. Amongst the Gentiles, there was another prophet who was equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ezer, the Bilam ben Bo'or. Who was it? This was Bilam. It's quite a well-known Maimon Chazal. Also, very puzzling and needs understanding. Because how could it be? It seems mind-boggling, in fact. How could it be that this Russia, Bilam, who told terrible things, yeah, about his lowly behavior, he attained this level of prophecy which Moshe Rabbeinu attained? Well, what's going on? Absolutely astounding. So I thought it's a beautiful explanation. It begins with understanding the following Mama Chazal. Kibbutanya. Kol ha-Nevi'im nistatu ba-Klariya she'ena me'ira. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us a difference, a distinction between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and all other Nevi'im. So the Gemara tells us that all Nevi'im nistatu ba-Klariya she'ena me'ira. They sort of looked, their Nevuah was viewed through a let's put it, a looking glass, a lens that is not so clear. She'ain't a Mahira, that is not clear. Moshe Rabbeinu is stuck in, but after Clario Hamahira. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, in contrast, he viewed his Nebuah through a clear lens, through a clear looking glass. Now, I'd like to share two beautiful ideas. What exactly does it mean? I mean, exactly does it mean? We can't, probably sure we can't fathom the full understanding of what this means, but a mashal, a little tchilas havada, the beginning of an understanding. What is this distinction? What are these two types of nevuah? An aspakaria, she'ena me'ira, a looking glass, a lens which is not clear, and a looking glass which is clear. I'd like to share with you two ideas from the Gedolei Acharei. One is from Reb Chaim Volozhin in his paper Ruach Chaim, and the second one on the second side of the page is from Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin. And after we come to the second pirush, we'll begin to understand a little more what's going on with Bilam. But there are two ideas that are beautiful here, and I'd like to share them both. So, starting with the explanation of Reb Chaim Volozhin in Ruach Chaim, he bases himself on the psukim towards the end of Parshas Baalotcha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this dialogue, this discussion with Miriam and Aaron regarding their level of prophecy and the level of prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's some sort of statement, call it over there, to compare the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu to the prophecy of Moshe and Aaron. So the prophecy of Miriam and Aaron. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them that it's not similar, it's not to be compared. And he says to them, in Pasuk Vav over there, if you have a prophecy, Hashem, Bamar'o. I haven't actually put the dots over here, but the dots are important. Bamar'o, a love et vado. I appear to him, let's just call it loosely, Bamar'o, in a vision. Lo yichein avdi Moshe, not so with Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole base in Nebonu, Pe'al, Pe'al, Daveboy, I speak to him mouth to mouth, Umar'e, and with a vision for lo yichein, it's not in riddles. Now, Reb Chaim Volozhin points out the slight change in terms over here. It seems like the same word. But regarding all the other beings written in the Kodesh Baruch Hu appears to them, Bamar'o, with a vision, with a comment, Bamar'o. And with Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, not so Abdi Moshe, Pe'al Pe'al, Dabeboku Mar'e. And with a vision, with a second, Mar'e, not a Mar'o. All the other Nevi'im Hashem appears with a mar'ot, with a comment. Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem Baruch appears with a mar'et, with a segel. This is the Ruach Chaim, the bottom of the first time. The Yodua, she mar'ot, a vision with a comment. Perusha ke'en marashol the chukim. It doesn't mean a vision. It means like a mirror, mar'ah. In Hebrew we say mar'ah, a mirror. Not something that you see through, but something that you see in it, a reflection. She'ein nirevo l'chol odom ki imatzel memen. If you look at somebody in a mirror, you look at yourself, or you look at somebody else, you don't see the person themselves. It looks like you're seeing the person, but you're not seeing the person. You're seeing the reflection of the person. She'ein nirevo l'chol odom ki imatzel memen. All you see there is the reflection of the person. V'lo ha'odom ba'atma, not the person himself. Because of something that is on the back of the glass. But with regular glass, through that you see the actual person through a glass, but you see the person himself. Therefore it is written, all the other Nabiim, according to Paul, is shown to them in a mirror. Haimu may rotik, with a distance, kamay amar'o, like the mirror where one does not see the person themselves. Kezel mashe kosu, bas pekario she'ena me'iro, with a looking glass which does not light up literally, which is not clear. Kamay amar'o shol tukis hanar, she'ena me'iro deret bo, like the mirror out of glass which one does not see through it. That's what it means, bas pekario she'ena me'iro. A looking glass that one does not see. One does not see through the glass. One just sees the reflection in the glass. Rak maravetna. Lo yichein avdi Moshe, lo tov Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown to him in a vision, in a looking glass. With a looking glass that does light up. There's no mar'eh, the segel, with a mar'eh, with a segel, with a shem mar'oh, a comet, not a mar'oh, with a comet. Haimu ke'inin al-suchis ha-pshuta, shem mar'eh deres bo etzem ha-dobor. Like a regular glass through which one sees the actual thing itself. So that is one angle, one understanding of difference between Astakaria Meira and Astakaria She'ena Meira. Through one sees the actual thing itself. One is compared to a mirror where one sees simply a reflection. But look, the kid is not in riddle. That's just the next word on the bottom. A riddle, chidah, not in a riddle, a clear thing. Now let's turn the paper to the other side. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin in his Sefer Al HaTorah gives an additional understanding, an additional muscle to sharpen to us further the meaning of Aspeklaria Meira and Aspeklaria She'ena Meira. I don't know, these two things, two different understandings, maybe. Some cross lines. Also with a muscle to glass, but a slightly different muscle. Fa'avol tichen, harezeh doymen l'mabit bizchuchit. One who gets a nevuah, all of them at the moment, is comparable in a certain way to looking through a glass. Now, im hazbizchuchit tzvuah yorik. Now when one looks at something through a glass, it depends, what you see depends on the colour of the glass. If it is green glass, although it is, or it's red glass, tohoi, yellow glass, chene, blue glass, kein mirin loi, kol hamubotim. That is how everything looks to him. Exactly as we look out of these windows over here, the bluish tint on the window, you look out, everything looks blue. Everything is coloured with those colours. Although in a sense you see the things, they're not changed, they're there, but you see them coloured. Cain for Indians the novel. So it is with a novel. Kolchen Nafsho is Zakra of a hero. His perception of his nevuah is dependent on the purity of his own nefesh. Raya Hapisroin, the interpretation of his nevuah can be seen tach umetzufzuch, all the more clear. However, a Navi, whose nefesh is, so to speak, less clear, his nevuah appears to him, the vision Hashem is showing him, is viewed by him through the looking glass of his own nefesh. The less clear his nefesh is, the more the nevuah becomes coloured with the colouring of his own nefesh. I suppose you might call it cloudy to an extent.
But it's a bias of it's a bias. It colors everything the color of the glass.
Yeah.
That's what you call a bias, right? Like a mind
bias. Bias. Yeah. Yeah, so a certain sense it's a bias, yeah. The Zelch Hamas Moshe Rabbeinu Olam HaShalom Shen Nafshay Hoitza Ba'olam HaMayla. The Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu was not, so to speak, in this muscle colored in any sense. When he's stuckled back to Kariya HaMe'ira. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu perceives his nevuah with an absolute clarity, with Aspataria HaMe'ira. Oh, so you're going to ask me, having said this, what are we saying? That all the perception of the other Nevi'ahs, so to speak, is, what to say this word, so to speak, you know, it's untrue. In other words, the Prophet shows them something, because they view it through their glass, through their coloured glass, and they view it, so to speak, wrongly?
No, you're right, but they're missing something from it. I mean, you're missing the color, right? If we take this analogy of the tinted glass, you're not missing the image, you're missing the color of the object.
So, nevertheless, so they're seeing it with the wrong color, whatever that changes it. Obviously, it's only a model, stop.
But it immediately, the curry doesn't change. Once he looks at the curry, it becomes a robot. He sees the right picture, it's just.
What but he gives it a different shape.
Right.
So sometimes one piece of information can be very significant. So there may be all these points that also happen, but Mara Zitkin goes on to explain that the Gemara says regarding a dream, anybody who's ever learned the last Perek of Brachos will see that great length in what discusses their dreams and the significance of dreams, and the Gemara brought forward a concept they dream. I'm thinking about it, about a true dream. Our dreams, the Talmudic says, have got very little, not significant. But they dream that the prophet is actually sending a type of message. But the Gemara says that the dream follows the way it is interpreted. If the way it is interpreted, that is the sort of true kium of the dream. It's not like how you get the right interpretation, the wrong interpretation. The way it is interpreted, that is the way the dream comes out in the Olam HaMaaseh, in the practical world. So it says, Mara Zidkin, it's the exact same way with Nebuah. The way it is interpreted by the Novi, that is the way it's going to be. Now, let's turn this concept to Bilam. Can you imagine a regular Nebuah shown through a looking glass of a Bilam? Now, this is all a little bit removed. But nevertheless, let's try and think about it for a second. A Nebuah viewed through a looking glass of a Bilam. Can you imagine what might come out? Even when a Kodesh Baruch Hu shows a Nebuah through a Bilam, but when he takes it through his looking glass and the way he's going to interpret it, what could come out from such a Nebuah? Who knows? Nothing good, surely. So how did it judge for Oit Yud in the Maral Zifkin? Umuvan Oit Salad. With this, says Maral Zifkin, I will answer the question that I posited in Oit Salad. I didn't put it on the paper. Wrote Saloiba Shehikshe. That he asked over there, Eich Salad Daitin to Bilam, Zal Nefes Lechalim Yisrael. How is it that Bilam has some Hadad Mina to think he's going to go and curse Am Yisrael? Because from sitting you won't be able to come. The Zalka Daite, Bilam thought, she avorchim Hashem Yisborach al Yodav Machad. Bilam thought that he was going to receive a vision of a regular novel. For who? For Nafshe Hamutsu'ova. Who, with his lowly and disgusting nefesh, nefesh Rechava V'ayin Ra, with the Midrash Rois that Chazal described that he had, Yoda Shakitroilus Shiriba Nafshe, when he's going to view it through his own nefesh, raw year the Yisroel Kanal. That is what he thought was going to happen, and that is how he thought, somehow or other, that is the understanding and the idea that was put forward, that he thought that he will have some opportunity to curse Am Yisroel. Since Bilam thinks that he's going to see a regular Nebuah. A regular Nebuah, okay, is viewed through the looking glass of the nefesh of the novel, and his kiyum in this world follow the interpretation that the novel gives it. So if Bilam is going to receive a Nebuah and begin viewing it through his own looking glass, he's going to pull out of that somehow or other with his sinner to Am Yisrael, and it will be some colouring, some tint of a klal of Am Yisrael. You can rely on Bilam. No worry. But he thinks that with all that Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to him, if that kind of Nebuah is going to work, that kind of Nebuah works, that's just going to be. That's the Klariyah Shehen on the ear. And indeed, that's what would have been. What was the... Oh, wait. On this occasion, what was the special chesed of a Kodesh Baruch Hu over here? You know what? Bilam got a surprise over here. Bilam didn't get his Nebuah with Aspakaria Shehen on the ear. On this occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted Bilam up to give him the type of Nebuah which was reserved for Moshe Rabbeinu. On this occasion, not due to the great Pitkus Cholina of Bilam, but due to the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Am Yisrael, on this occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bilam a Nebuah of an Aspakaria Hamahira.
Why was it for the sake of the
Christ? Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu given Bilam regular Nebuah, Bilam would have turned and twisted it and interpreted it for the raw of Am Yisrael. But when a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a Nebuah which is through a clear looking glass, not a coloured glass, there's no room for interpretation. It is whatever it is. There's no more adding and interpreting it the way the Navi views it, etc., etc. It's through a clear looking glass. That's what it means. In Yisrael there was never a Navi like Moshe, but in the Ummah Tolan there was Bilam. Bilam has the same Nebuah as Moshe Rabbeinu, yet on this occasion HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that level of Nebuah in order to save, to protect Am Yisrael. With this, to the Mara Zitkin, we'll return and answer the second question that we asked, which was, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu his paper? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down his book and the book of Bilam. He wrote his book and the book of Bilam. The book of Bilam is part of the book of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Mara Zitkin, the entire Torah was given over by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mankind with this type of prophecy, with the prophecy of Aspaklaria, this is the last year. With the type of prophecy of Aspaklaria Hameira, absolute clarity through a clear looking glass. Now, in Sefer Bereishis, for example, there are many prophecies that were prophesied by the Ovo. And the Ovo didn't prophesy with the same level of prophecy as Moshe Rabbeinu. They prophesied with Aspaklaria She'eva Meir. Says the Maharal Diskin, when Moshe Rabbeinu recorded the Torah, in order that the entire Torah should be given to us with the level of clarity of a Moshe Rabbeinu type prophecy, those prophecies were, so to speak, given over again through Moshe Rabbeinu. All those events and those prophecies were re-given and re-recorded via a Moshe Rabbeinu type channel. They were given to Moshe Rabbeinu again, because they have to be given over to mankind with Aspaklaria Hameira. That is the nature of Torah's Moshe. Everything in Torah's Moshe is with Aspaklaria Hameira.
But then we can see Moshe Rabbeinu was writing under dictation from a Kohen Baruch Hu, right? That was how it's
around. Let's say, I don't know.
Yes, okay. So what are we talking about here?
So, not only the laws and the dinim and everything that sort of directly clearly comes up through Moshe Rabbeinu, but even let's say the prophecies that were given to the others were really given to Moshe. It wasn't just sort of dictation, it was more than that. It was not just, you know, sort of dictation, you write down these words. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a prophecy with a Moshe Rabbeinu type prophecy, a Sakaria Hamaira, in order that the entire Torah should be in our hands.
It was given to Avraham
Avinu? Avraham Avinu had a prophecy, he prophesied, and he prophesied. Well, it's recorded in the Torah what he prophesied. But when Avraham Avinu prophesied it, he prophesied without Sakaria She'eno Meir.
She'eno
Meir.
So what happened?
In order that we should have it as part of Torah,
Moshe
Rabbeinu, so to speak, re prophesied it. It was given again as a prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu.
How did that play out in the war? I mean, it could have been that it would have been, the concept would have been different, or something would have been
different? I don't know if we have to say that necessarily. I don't know whether we're able to hone in on those type of details, you know, the understanding of such a concept. It might be removed concept. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as an absolute clear nevuah. That was necessary to be done with every nevuah of any other Navi which is recorded in the Torah, had to be re-given to Moshe Rabbeinu in order that it should come to us with this clarity of the nevuah of Aspaklaria Hameira. The only place that this was not necessary was with the nevuah of Bilam. Bilam was simply, Bilam's nevuah had already been given with Aspaklaria Hameira, because as we said, that was, it was necessary for Bilam to prophesy with that level of prophecy in order to protect Am Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the parasha of Bilam, he didn't need to re-prophesy with his own prophetic skills, let's say. It was simply there, it was simply an exercise of recording what's already been. That's what it means. Over there indeed, it was simply a matter of writing down the words. But Shari didn't need to re-prophesize as such. Masha Ain gave any other Nebuah in the Torah, but Shravina had to re-prophesize through his own channel of Nebuah in order to come to us with Aspaklaria Hameira. We're not built prophecy, that wasn't necessary. That's what it means. That's why in this sense, the Chazal refers to it as Moshe Rabbeinu writing his own book and the book of Bilam. Because the book of Bilam, he didn't have to re-prophesize, he just had to write it. And in that, I think we have answered all the questions that we started with. Okay, I wish you all a good day.